Well, Carla has already read the text that I'll be speaking on, but it's from Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And let us stand together as I reread this text today. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonderful works, wonders of God in our own tongues." Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this witness of the Holy Spirit's first coming upon people as prophesied in the book of Joel that was read just a few minutes ago. Accurate prophecy from Joel, fulfilled here in Acts chapter 2. We thank You for the gift of the Holy Spirit given to everyone who believes in You. In Thy name, amen. You may be seated. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. All together in one place. Many people there. And today we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost that takes place about 50 days after the celebration of the Passover. We note that Jesus died in Jerusalem on the day of the Passover celebration. And the Passover is very important for the Jewish people. Pentecost is also important for them too as well. Now many people today do not understand that Pentecost is also an Old Testament celebration. It was first celebrated when the people of Israel were led by Moses out of the land of Egypt, when all of Pharaoh's armies were drowned in the Red Sea. Later it was celebrated when the Lord gave the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel on Mount Sinai. And also on Mount Sinai at the same time, the Lord gave out the plans for the building of the tabernacle and also the temple plans. So on Mount Sinai, God gave the Ten Commandments, but He also gave the law, which is the law, and He also gave the gospel, because all of the tabernacle, all of the temple points to Jesus Christ, primarily the tabernacle. Everything that is in the tabernacle, every bit of it, points to Jesus Christ. Promised by God, He was, after we fell in the garden into sin, Adam and Eve. And God commanded them that this feast of the Pentecost be observed on an annual basis. And these events point out to the Jews all that I have mentioned before. And so it is celebrated by Messianic Jews, regular Jews, and also by the church. And probably not on the same days, but Pentecost is celebrated. And to the Messianic Jew, the one who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, Pentecost means much more. since Jesus' death occurred and Pentecost followed. So today we don't celebrate the Old Testament Pentecost, but we celebrate it in the New Testament way. It is now a new observance and not an old observance. We celebrate it today because the Lord gave the Holy Spirit to the church at that particular time. And so Pentecost today is called the birthday of the church. The birthday of the church. And it is important for us to mention that in those Old Testament days, the Holy Spirit did not always come to people on an individual basis. And the Lord gave the Holy Spirit to certain people. And then the Holy Spirit would leave them. And not everyone in the Old Testament, therefore, received the Holy Spirit. But those certain people, because the Lord had something for them to do. And the Spirit of God came according to God's plan to these individuals. However, it was for the sake of the things of God only. Always will be, I think, but in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was given primarily so that these certain individuals could accomplish something that God wanted them to do. It was when God wanted an individual then to do certain and specific works which would honor and glorify Him. It is different in these New Testament days. Again, every child of God has the Holy Spirit today, both men and women. If a person does not have the Holy Spirit today, that person is not a child of God. And further, if a person is not led by the Holy Spirit, according to Romans chapter 8, that person is not a child of God either. But everyone today, every child of God, has the person of the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. He lives in them. He comes to them, first of all, through the sacrament of holy baptism and continues with that person as that person receives the preached word of God and participates in the sacraments of the church. And the person then, therefore, must need to renew their baptismal covenant. That's important. And we think that's done at the time of confirmation. But it may not be the case. It may not be the case. Many come to be confirmed, baptized, confirmed. Does not mean that that person is a child of God. There must be a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the similarity between the Old and the New Testament is seen to be the same in this way. The giving of the Holy Spirit is intended for the purposes of God and for God's plan. God wants us to do what He wants us to do, as He leads us and to strengthen His kingdom. So the giving of the Holy Spirit is not for personal gain. That's my car beeping. I just turned it on. How do I shut it off? Push the horn. Ha! You mean I didn't have it?
Some people are tired.
Okay, you win. So, I guess the car wanted to relate that fact in a special way, that the giving of the Holy Spirit to us is not for our personal gain. But this is vitally important for people to understand. The giving of the Holy Spirit is not to give us some sort of spirituality that other people don't have. Some think they are more spiritual than others, and that might be. I don't know. I don't ever look that that way at people and say, well, that one is more spiritual than that one. But they might just think that they're more spiritual. But the Holy Spirit is given to people so that they might do the work of God, not for self-personal gain of any kind. The Lord treats us all in the same way. Incidentally, we can ask for a special filling of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus mentioned in His high priestly prayer in John, I suppose, 16 or 17. And I wholeheartedly believe this, that we could do that. We do have the Holy Spirit when we are saved. We come to Him, and even through baptism, but for ministry purposes, for the sake of the kingdom of God. And we can ask for His filling. I have in my library a booklet by H.G. Randolph, once a teacher at the Lutheran Bible Institute. He writes about this in a booklet called Being Filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we can ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Although when we are being led by the Holy Spirit, led by the Lord to do things for Him, I think these fillings of the Holy Spirit come when we proceed in His honor and glory. On that first Pentecost, the disciples gathered there together in one place, all from Galilee. They had knowledge of Jesus' death. 10 days earlier, Jesus had been taken to heaven. Now these men were grieving. They were sad. They were despondent. They were depressed. They were feeling hopeless, and they gathered together in fear, huddled together, seemingly having no plan, no direction, and they maybe not understanding the words of Jesus, and maybe not also remembering the word of Jesus, because Jesus had taught them that after He leaves, goes back to the Heavenly Father, He would send them a comforter, the Holy Spirit. Now it's interesting that the Holy Spirit, another name for the Holy Spirit, is the word paraclete. It means walking alongside of another person. We speak about the parallel bars when we're doing gymnastic, one bar parallel to the other. And that is the word paraclete, can be applied there. This means one who is walking alongside of a person. One, the Holy Spirit walks alongside of every believer. He walks alongside the local congregation. He walks alongside the church at large. Through the Holy Spirit, the church would always be in touch with Jesus because the Holy Spirit always points to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit always uses the Word of God and the sacraments of the church to point to Jesus. I think the one who knows the Bible, reads it, and is regular in worship attendance, will also have a conscience which will use the Word of God in particular to point to Jesus, as the Holy Spirit uses that. This is the work of the Holy Spirit also. So these men and women gathered together there in Acts chapter 2. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Sort of maybe like last night, if you were awake in the middle of the night, you heard this wind. I was thinking about that must be like a Pentecostal experience to hear this wind coming about. And then you just talk about excitement. Talk about excitement. These fearful followers of Jesus became wide-eyed as they heard this sound. And I'm convinced that there are people who need some kind of a sound in their lives to get God to speak to them so that they would allow the Lord to speak to them about their relationship. And God needs to wake them up. And here God wakes up these people that are gathered together. And the adrenaline just poured out of them. Clearly the Lord was going to give them hope now. And He was going to give them a message. He was going to put spiritual gifts to work through them. And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributing themselves. And they rested on each one of them. I just cannot imagine this, how that would be. What if something like that happened here today? Tongues of fire on everybody. Tongues of fire resting on our heads. Such would certainly gain our attention. And so would the sound of a large storm. Not boring at all. As if God were boring. If things are boring, that's your fault. Of course, you might hear long and somewhat tedious sermons that may be hard to follow, but hopefully we can put them together and make sense out of the whole thing. What the church needs today is Holy Spirit fire. And I know there's a big discussion amongst our pastors in our area about cooperating with some of the churches, Lutheran and otherwise, in our area, primarily Lutheran, because of their stands that are totally ungodly and uncalled for, unscriptural, unbiblical, and not very wise. We need to have a fire that ignites all of us who know the Lord to reach out to those who are unsaved. A fire that ignites Christians to be concerned more and more about their own spiritual lives and the spiritual lives of others. When will the fire come? It is here if we will listen. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages, other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Not one was left out. And they all began to speak in other languages. I do not think they lost their own Galilean language, but now they could speak another language as the Spirit directed. And the purpose was certainly to encourage these people assembled to tell the message of Jesus Christ throughout all of the world, to get this message of Jesus to all the nations, as Jesus told us to do when He left this world in His ascension. But does the Lord work this way? Does He send the Holy Spirit in an instant to do His work? I think that's possible. However, I really think that the main focus that He has is through means, through a very designated means, and that is primarily through the Bible and the sacraments of the church. There are those who think that all people should have some kind of a Pentecostal experience. It appears to me that they are looking for some sort of a shortcut to spiritual knowledge. One calls these that want this kind of experience and are looking for something ecstatic all the time to happen, people that are spiritual lazy. There are those who seem to reason that since the disciples learned foreign languages without studying them, that they can grasp spiritual truth without study of the Word of God, and that they can receive spiritual messages which come directly from the Holy Spirit. And then they can go around and correct everybody and think that they are so spiritual. They need not study the Bible and only need to study it on occasion. Or they may be careful studiers of the Bible, but they have some kind of a notion that they can get special messages from God and that they are more spiritual than others. And I have met those who think they are some kind of a prophet or God-given seer. You know what? Satan loves this kind of reasoning. God's Word becomes corrupted. One can imagine how each generation would add its own particular human style of logic to this pattern. People begin not to rely upon the Word of God, but their own vain personal inner sight, inner light. And this personal inner light, they mistakenly believe to be the Holy Spirit speaking to them and working in them. It has always been my thought that if the Holy Spirit says time and time again, I should do something, witness, encourage, counsel, guide as a pastor and a Christian that I should go ahead as he leads. He wakes me up to someone who comes to mind. And maybe you've had that too. Sleeping away and all of a sudden you wake up and somebody's name comes to you. Maybe unknown to me, that person is having some kind of trouble at that particular time. Then it is, while I don't know the nature of the problem, but only the name, I do pray for that person. Now, there were Jews in Jerusalem, devout men of every nation under heaven. Now, I think that God planned for these godly, devout Jewish people to be there in Jerusalem. Every Passover, every Pentecost, planned by God. Just as the Lord planned the birth of Jesus, everything done according to His timetable, they were all there. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered. The other word, other names are used in different versions of the Bible, because each of them was hearing them speak in his own language. The speaking of these other languages led to confusion. It maybe was like the Tower of Babel in some ways. One can almost imagine what it was like. People were bewildered, the text says. The point is this. It was not until the disciples really began using their spiritual gifts that this matter was straightened out. Each one could then speak about Jesus in clear, concise ways in other languages that they had not previously learned. And the example of this is the Apostle Peter, who in the next verses, his gift was preaching, and 3,000 people were saved. And that's the main thrust, not the speaking in languages. They were amazed and astonished. Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? Bewilderment at first, and then amazement, and then astonishment. Well, I once took German in college in Sioux Falls. It was hard to learn. And the Greek that I tried to learn was 1,000 times worse, because words begin in one ending, and then it changes to the other ending, and then the same word is used again in a different way. Well, I did get an A in Greek, but I've seldom used it, which is probably good for you. It certainly would have been nice to have learned such instantly. Go in there and learn it right away. Then it would be something else to suddenly speak another language too. But what value would that be? Was that for their own personal use? No. Of what value to the disciples? Was it to impress somebody? And some there are today who think that they have such a special corner on the things of the Lord and spiritual matters, they want to impress us. And personally, I'm not impressed. One fellow comes to my house every once in a while. He'll come now for a while. One big advertisement about him all the time. I try to tell him quietly, you know, I can't, as a pastor, tell you anything about my ministry and what I'm doing with people or what's happening in my church in a quiet way. But there's something that came that day, and I said to him, you can just leave. Now he don't come back. Because I was tired of hearing all of this. I did this, I did that. That's baloney. Because if he did it, it's certainly not the Holy Spirit that did it. And how is it that we hear them in our own language in which we were born? And then it goes, lists all these hard to read and maybe mispronounced words that Carla and I tried to read this morning. And we did a pretty good job. The disciples focused not on the experience of speaking in another language. They focused on putting their spiritual gifts to use. Our focus is not on what happens instantly. While the Holy Spirit does work instantly, He does so in connection with the Word of God and not apart from the sacraments of the church. Never does he speak anything contrary to the Word of God. Here comes the fire. These discouraged disciples got a new start, a new beginning. In the book of Acts, we learned that these men demonstrated their gifts. They demonstrated the language that they were taught so instantly. Something far more exciting and beneficial to the Lord and His kingdom happened as they went out. What is needed today in the church is Holy Spirit fire. That's what's needed in the church today. There are those who are like Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 or 11 who said they didn't even know there was such a thing as the Holy Spirit. I think we need to know and to learn more about His work amongst us. And Peter's sermon, preached a sermon, he used his spiritual gift. And he divided the sermon into law and gospel. The result was these 3,000 people were saved. And they were cut to the heart. The sermon showed them their sin and pointed to Jesus as the one who forgives. The fourth principle of the AFLC reads this way. Members of the organized congregation are not in every instant believers. And such hypocrites often derive a false hope from their external connections with the congregation. It is therefore the sacred obligation of the congregation to purify itself by the quickening preaching of the word, by earnest admonition and exhortation, and by expelling the openly sinful and perverse. That's the prescription given. And it is in connection with the Word of God. But the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call to Himself. The preaching in different languages converted no one, at least at the time. In fact, the speaking in various languages confused people. And it was Peter and others in the book of Acts that we studied here just a little bit ago that used their spiritual gifts that changed the world. We must abandon the quick fixes of some who dwell on such and then think they are more spiritually bright than others. Some there are who think they have the spiritual advantage, and it is because of certain experiences that they've had. Experiences such as speaking in tongues, which was a problem a few years ago, continues to be. Or in some other way, they believe the Holy Spirit speaks to them and only to them. What gives true joy and happiness is not this. It is the Holy Spirit leading us through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit meets us in these places, and He will always meet us there, even as we take Holy Communion. Always pointing to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the one who has come to save, to seek and to save the lost. Any other communication God makes with us must, if anything, be considered and prayed about and compared to the Scriptures. So again, I think the Holy Spirit does lead us to pray for certain people. He leads us to witness to certain ones. He does put in our hearts a concern for others. But anything contrary to the Word of God is off limits. The main thing here at Pentecost was not that these people spoke in other languages. It was the work that the Lord wanted them to do. It was for them to put their spiritual gifts to order, to use. Not only is Peter an example, his gift was preaching. Some other had gifts of teaching. Others had the gifts of giving and so on. It was for the purpose of giving the church a sound beginning. It was God's doing. And so for every day, for the born-again Christian, that day is a Pentecost day. Or at least there should be. Some work of the Lord begun. May the Holy Spirit lead. Let us pray for Holy Spirit given fire in our own lives, right here, in our own congregation. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Maybe complicated message in some ways, but you will speak to us accordingly. And it is not some kind of an instant spiritual thing where everybody gets, those who get some kind of spiritual experience that means that they are higher and mightier and stronger and better and have more faith than others. It is just that we need to work and to follow you and be led by your Holy Spirit into the abundant life of outreach for others. And we give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening. Hymn number 133 in the Ambassador Hymn Book.